The decades-long effort made by the community to protect Centre Wellington's water has been immortalised in print. I was joined by Donna McCaw, one of the founding members of the local water conservation and activist group, Save Our Water, to talk about a new book which tells the 10-year story of how a small but mighty community protected local water sources. But here's a bit of the backstory. In 2015, it was made public knowledge that Nestle was interested in purchasing a Centre Wellington property containing a freshwater well, but the corporation was planning on using this source to supply a huge bottling facility in Aberfoyle, about 40 kilometers south of Centre Wellington. Eventually, Nestle bottled up their own operations for good, and also putting a permanent stop to bottling operations in North America.
I think a book is one of the perfect ways to kind of capture what happened, because mm-hmm. you're able to put it into a timeline.
Absolutely, and Jan Beveridge did a fabulous job. She kept very good records, I kept records, so we had a timeline to take to the archives. And then I said to her, you know, this is a book, and it's important to get a story of a community that came together, did all kinds of work at various levels, and won. And other communities need to be inspired by this kind of story. So she got busy and did the work and did a beautiful job of putting it together. So you can see the sequence of it right from 2015, when it was, oh my goodness, they could sue you, you could lose your house, you can't go up against a multinational corporation. So we decided we would look at the specifics and what our water system needed, how to fight against a pump test, how to take a look at our well system. And she put together a science and technology group, and they met every other week. And then we met with our core group. So we met around kitchen tables. We met at an office that was donated to us for 2 years. This community just kept stepping up and stepping up and stepping up, volunteering, helping with fundraisers, coming to these beautiful marches, doing all kinds of work to support the work of Save Our Water. And that's what this book is about. It's about a community coming together and protecting drinking water, which is going to become more and more a serious issue as time goes by, with so much development and so much overuse and pollution of water.
I was just going to say, like, it is definitely very topical, because, I mean, kind of in local news headlines, I know Kitchener-Waterloo has made the news
absolutely.
A lot, because their existing water supply can't handle the growth, basically.
That's right. And they're not the only city that's involved with this. Yeah, it's a very, very topical issue, and there are people fighting against gravel pits. They're using precious water to wash stones, and there are all kinds of super water users that make it difficult to get the water clean enough to use again, and trying to keep the Grand River full of enough water to deal with all the sewage plants along the way. I mean, it's, and then what's happening at Six Nations with drinking water all along the Grand River from Dundalk right down to Port Maitland. There are issues all along the way.
As we said, these issues are topical for everyone, because first of all, I mean, water is in everything.
Everything needs water to live. Everything that's alive needs water to live. And that's why it just resonated so strongly with this community, because we're on limestone and water just seeps away. And we have good water. We have an aquifer that brings us older water. So water that doesn't have drugs in it and doesn't have pollutants in it. Water that's 50 to 500 years old. That's worth protecting. And people understood that and tied ribbons and put up signs, marched in parades, went on marches to the Middlebrook place, went to the Nestle place in Aberfoyle, went down to the ministry in Toronto more than once, or supported us, gave us advice, expertise, donated money, stepped forward in so many powerful ways.
Yeah, and I think it's also significant, too, because we're talking about communities addressing large corporations, holding them accountable, because as an individual, it can be kind of demoralizing, you know, whenever, obviously we're trying to do all we can to preserve the earth, basically, but like I said, it can be demoralizing when there are large corporations that exist that use unprecedented amount of resources.
Nestle was planning on extracting over 1.6 million liters of water daily from a single well. To put that into perspective, that's roughly the same amount of water used by the village of Elora each day.
So that just did not make sense at all when we're struggling to find water. Historically, this place has been very difficult to find good water under good pressure so it's usable. And water has to be sent from Ellora over to Fergus. I mean, we have a system that is a very precarious system, and we have some very dedicated staff people who make sure we have good water when we turn on our taps, and they need to be appreciated too. It was wonderful when we had a number of public meetings. Our then mayor Kelly Linton came and spoke because he got on board and became part of that team as the municipal staff and the municipal politicians realized what an important issue this was. So he spoke at a public meeting. We had our then county councillor Sean Waters come and speak at one of the events that we did in the green space in Ellora. We engaged and educated our local staff, our local politicians. Jan and I met one-on-one with everybody who ran for council over 3 different elections.
Save Our Water was also speaking with provincial ministries, who informed the group there should be incoming legislation to try and dissuade large-scale freshwater extraction.
So that was a relief, but we knew we weren't done yet, because we still had people taking water at Aberfoyle and wanting more.
Yeah, because I remember reading in the book, because I know there's a few different discussions with the provincial government, but one of the actual amendments made to legislation was they wanted to introduce basically like a levy on taking the water, but that doesn't solve the issue of preventing people from taking
before, the water. Before, for 1 million liters of water, they paid $3.75. That went up to $503.75 or something around there.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't help. That just helps to pay for the administration of all of this stuff. You know, water is not for sale. Water is not a commodity. It is life itself. And that's why it's important that we protect it, because it's magical. I mean, it is a sacred calling to look after water.
And obviously this is all compiled in a very well-detailed timeline.
But it's readable, you know. It's got color pictures, and it's got quotes from all kinds of people who were involved in one way or another. This book gives most of that whole picture. Some things are still kind of confidential and quietly done, but generally speaking, most of the information of what happened over that 10-year time period, you get to meet characters like the Blue Heron with Peter Skoggart, and you get to hear about the Loch Nessley monster and the ritual burning of that monster and all the things that happened along the way. And it's about a community. It's about how another community can get organized, work hard, be persistent and determined, and win. We were very surprised when Nestle Waters left North America. Now what? But then it was taken over by an American hedge fund and a chop shop. And we took a look at their structures and realized they'd be selling it at some point because they had borrowed so much money. And then it got sold again. And then we thought, well, now what? What are we dealing with now? But we let the township know when it looked like there was going to be another sale, that something was up. And they had that little tiny window to be able to step in, work very hard, negotiate very hard, and get that sale. I was at the Blue Jays game April 2nd, 2025 with my brother. And my phone kept buzzing. Finally, I thought, okay, I better check it. And it was the press release announcing that the township had bought the well. Well, I screamed, which was quite inappropriate for that timing of the baseball game. It was so exciting. I thought, oh my gosh, we've won. That's it. We won.
It is a huge monument for a smaller community, right?
Absolutely. Senator Wellington really came forward. The letter writing alone, when I talked to Minister Urich, he said, I never got so many letters. I got letters from kids. I got letters from schools. I got letters from churches. I got so many letters. I wanted to see this community. So he came and visited. He said, how did you get so many people to write letters? Because this is not a huge community. But people took it seriously and knew it was a very serious issue. It was an existential issue for this community. And when we found out what the growth numbers were supposed to be from the provincial government, we thought, we don't have the water for that. We've got to do this. So we did. We stuck to it for a decade, and we did it.
So why is it so important to be continuing to tell that story today?
Well, first of all, I think it's important that people know what actually happened. Like I said, they just know little bits and pieces in part, and this will give them a bigger picture of what happened.
Especially over 10 years, like so much happened.
Oh, yeah, so much. And also, I want to get it into the schools and colleges and universities and also to other community groups that need hope. They need to know that a community can work together and win. With this happening like that, I think we're a story that other people can learn from and be inspired by.
I'm Mick Horvath reporting for The Grand 101.